Free agency is underway. It opened with plenty of action here on NBL Now. We're going to break it all down for you. Liam Santamaria, Damon Lowry. There's plenty to get through. Let's jump in. This is NBL Now, Tuesday the 16th of April. Big day in sport yesterday. Final day of the Masters. The WNBA draft upon us. Last day of the NBA regular season. And they all just paused and watched on as NBL free agency got underway. Plenty of action, of course. We had a live show on all the NBL socials channels yesterday. Jack Heverin, Pete Hooley, Derek Rucker, Olgan Ulick, breaking it all down as it happened. And now in the aftermath, as we go throughout the week, we're here for you. Joel Peterson, along with Liam Santamaria and Damon Lowry. Damon, adorned in green and gold this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm feeling very patriotic. Thought I'd rep the colours.
And Liam, I feel like this is Christmas for a man with your analytical mind, this kind of... These wheelings and dealings, I feel like this is right in your ballpark.
Oh, I enjoy it for sure. Always have. Particularly enjoyed yesterday. That was great. That live free agency marketplace. Jack and Derek and Pete and Ogden, they did a fantastic job. And it was riveting viewing, just seeing the signings become official and coming in thick and fast. And there was a lot that got done on that opening day.
Absolutely, there was. Let's start with what was your headline move from it, Liam? What was sort of the most significant move in your eyes?
Well, for me, I think it was Nathan Sobey. You know, I think that maybe it's a little overlooked how big a move that is. That's the guy from the All-NBL second team this past season. That's the guy who has been an All-NBL first team performer in previous years. He was 20 points per game last year. That's top five in scoring. And he played 27 games. So, you know, he was fit and healthy throughout that year, a bronze medalist in that Boomers team in 2021. So I think when a guy of that caliber moves, now there's a lot of focus on who said what and he said this and she said, but this guy's a flat out baller and he's coming home to Victoria, which if you look at his socials, he's excited about. And, you know, the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix are very, very excited to have him. They wanted Nathan Sobey when he left Adelaide and went to Brisbane a number of years ago, and now they finally get their man. So I think that was the biggest move of day one.
They're you know, Sobey's warnable. Maybe they could be the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix and the Southwest Victoria Phoenix. A little bit of a tie in there. Damon, what caught your eye?
Same. Obviously, the Sobey deal has been so far the headline act, the move. Gutsy call by Justin Schuler and his staff to basically put plant their feet in the sand and go, we're about to stand on something. And sometimes you got to break an egg to make an omelet and make some very unpopular decisions. And I credit him for that. And we'll see if it works out for him in the long run. But at least he's shown he's not messing around. But the other big one for me was Kyron Galloway. I thought, you know, hearing Scott Ninnis talk that Kyron was going to be very much required, like a big three, if you will, like DJ, Vasiljevic, Big Ice, and Kyron Galloway. I just thought 6'9", can shoot the three ball, athletic, runs the floor, blocks shots. Local guy, you can't lose these. They're rare, these kind of guys. And for him to leave, and we don't know if they didn't want to offer him a two-year deal. We don't know what the ins and outs of that were. But just to see him leave, I just thought that was kind of shocking.
Of course, they sort of got Lat Mayne going back the other way, a South Australian product. So it was all a trade of sorts, which you've seen a little bit of in this free agency period. What was your favourite move, Damon? So it could be a big one, could be a small one. What was the move that you really liked for a team or for a player?
Jonah Bolden going to the Breakers. I feel like Jonah Bolden, like what all past relationships aside, the old era, the old school, Bruce Bolden from Flint, Michigan. To see Jonah go to the NBA, go to Europe, come back, take a little bit of time off, and play with that Kings team. And I felt like we didn't see the best of Jonah. And in that rotation system that Mahmoud Abdul Fattah had going, I never thought that suited Jonah. I think Jonah is a starting player in this league. He's not a center. He's not, I don't care how tall he is, 6'11", 7 foot, don't care. He's not a center. He's a stretch four, in my opinion. Knock the three ball down. can block shots, can, you know, can lead a break sometimes, you know, can, you know, advance the ball. He's so versatile offensively and defensively. And I felt like he was kind of buried a little bit in that Sidney Kings quagmire, whatever the hell they was doing last year. So to see him get a fresh start, I was hoping it was more than 1 year, but we'll start off with a year. To see him get a fresh start with Moti Maor, who I highly rate as a motivator, an innovator, and just a blue collar kind of guy. I feel like he's going to get the best out of Jonah. And I think Jonah's going to have a big season.
Well, I think the use of the word quagmire was the thing I loved the most over the past 24, 48 hours. But beyond that, the move I loved the most, I think, was Kyron Galloway to the Taipans. You know, it was Billy Bean up there in far north Queensland. He's done it again. You know, he just sat there and listened to what you just said, Damon, about Kyron Galloway. He said, I agree with everything that you just said. He's a high-level talent with plenty of upside. And, you know, to bring him into Cairns, he's just the perfect type of player for Adam Ford to now get the most out of, to give a whole bunch of opportunity to guide. You know, Kyron Galloway is not exactly sure what he is or how he should play just yet, what he should be entirely leaning on. Now, Adam Ford did a brilliant job with Keanu Pinder in simplifying his game and focusing him in on what he needs to do. And you know, he's going to enjoy the challenge of doing the same thing here with Kyron Galloway. What Galloway does terrifically well, apart from protect the rim at the defensive end, is shoot the three ball. And, you know, you remember that 23-point game in January against Southeast Melbourne. He hit five threes and, you know, he blew that game apart with his perimeter shooting. So how does Adam Ford kind of bring all that together is going to be really fun to watch. Pete made a great call on the show yesterday, predicting him to be most improved player next year. So certainly from a team perspective, I think also from a player perspective, but certainly from a team perspective, finding a guy that's, you know, out there in the free agency pool with upside can grow into something bigger and better than he currently is. That was a great pickup.
Athletic big man going from Adelaide to Cairns to play under Adam Ford. It's a recipe that's worked before, and they'll be hoping to get the same kind of result as you mentioned that they got with Keanu Pinder. Was there something that had you scratching your head a little bit, Liam, that you left thinking, I'm not sure about that one?
Yeah, that one for me was Dinga Dell to the Bullets. And, you know, that didn't surprise me yesterday. I was up in Brisbane at the Under 18 Nationals this past week and with a whole bunch of NBL coaches there. And so I'd been talking about a lot of these moves in advance. And so I've been mulling over the Dinga Dell move for a few days now. It wasn't pretty when he was here last time in 2020-21 with the Hawks. It didn't go anywhere near as well as he hoped, as they hoped, as we all hoped. And, you know, he's gone away and I'll be honest, I haven't seen a lot of him. He's played in Canada. He's played in Bulgaria and Denmark. He's right now, he's averaging 8 points per game in the French second division. So I don't know what he's like now, but I do know what he used to be like and what he was like last time in the NBL. So that one was the interesting thing for me. I will go back just one step further than his time with the Hawks, though, because I remember sitting sideline at the Summer League and watching him have 20 for the Rockets. And, you know, being super excited about that guy coming to the NBL. Now, style of play is an interesting thing. Certain leagues just sort of suit certain guys in different ways. Hopefully, Justin Schuler can tap into that skill set that Dinga Dell does have and get the most out of him in Brisbane.
So what you're telling me, Liam, is, you know, running the Next Stars program, you've got a young family, you've got a beautiful new house, and you don't have time to watch the Bulgarian Basketball Association. Is that
where we've... I haven't squeezed it in just yet.
we'll get you sorted. We'll add that to the 50-plus leagues that you've got your eyes on around the world. Damon, a head-scratcher for you?
Yeah, I'm also going to scratch. I scratched a little bit on that one too, Lynn, with about Dinga Dell. He's a guy that I was always a fan of going back to his college days at Louisville. And he's one of those guys that you just go, you know what? Can we just take a flyer? Like, if we're going to just take a shot at something, it's high reward for low risk. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. But my biggest head scratch was Isaiah Liafa. I thought Zay Liafa had a real impactful season for the Breakers. Modi really trusted him. Local guy playing for his local club. After not quite fitting in with the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, he comes home and has success. Was in that guard rotation when Will McDowell White got hurt. He was out there with PJC a lot of the times. He was closing games. He was coming up with big steals and clutch moments. I just felt like this is a perfect spot for him. Not a starter, but could play starters minutes on any given night. And again, we don't know the behind the scenes, what's going on behind the curtains, but just to see him leave there and go to Sydney, great pickup by Brian Gorgeous. I mean, he's just putting together an all defensive team already before the balls even get rolled out. You're already in the hole if you're the opposition with this defensive team that he's putting out there so far. So that was the biggest one for me, seeing Zay leave.
Did that concern you from a New Zealand perspective or a Liafa perspective? Because I agree with you. It's an interesting one. Is it a question about why he would want to leave, or is it a question about how New Zealand would let him go?
A bit of both. Because, you know, you see some press conferences and you see Modi's got his arm around Zay, and then another game, he could be going right at Zay. Like, and people sometimes, they focus on the, I like to use this analogy, everybody worries about what party they're going to. Where's the next party at? But I like to focus on who's the DJ. Who's DJing this party? So do you, like, I go to the party, but the music is whack. So you got Modi Maor, who pushes buttons, but he loves his players. Sometimes it's tough love. Sometimes players don't like the tough love. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the ins and outs of it. But I've seen a lot of tender moments between Modi and Isaiah Liafa that I thought, did something happen? I don't know. So obviously, too, the lure playing for Brian Gorgeous, that's got to be great as well.
Mitch McCarron going the other way, could that have been part of it, that they prioritised that signing over keeping Isaiah Liafa?
I'd be surprised if they did that. I would have thought maybe the signing of Mitch McCarron was in response to Isaiah leaving because, you know, as you just said, Damon, like, you're a local guy playing at a high level, really defensive-minded. He's a little earlier in his career than where Mitch is at, and Isaiah's probably coming into his prime right about now, to be honest. So I would have thought he would have been the higher priority to keep, and it would have. And my assumption is that it was Isaiah's decision to leave. So you're right. It is an interesting one, but man, great pickup from, you know, Brian Gorgeous just picked up Isaiah Liafa from Paul Qual, like bang, bang. Now, man, he's got a couple of hounds that he can throw at dudes over the course of this season.
Hopefully he can keep them both out of foul trouble. I'm happy normally just to sit back and let you guys, you know, you're the experts, throw your suggestions. I'm going to throw one in here as a head scratcher. Is I just follow Olgun Ulich's tweets, as everyone does, in the free agency tracker. And Olgun tweeted yesterday the Isaiah Liafa deal. And that was at 11:03 Eastern time. What are we doing for the rest of the day? Are we just sort of working in the morning and then everyone's going out to lunch or like... That's the head scratcher for me, is we've got all these GMs who are making deals and they can't wait to get started and they bang, bang, bang straight off the gun and then, oh, yeah, it's 11:30, we'll go out to lunch and have a nap and we'll come back tomorrow. What's going on there?
There's more deals to be done, Joel. There's an afternoon versus of wheeling and dealing.
There was no more wheeling and dealing. I didn't see a lot more. So I don't know. They need some of your stamina, I think, Damon, just to keep them fighting through some of those low points. Is there one thing that I think the whole league is waiting for the Will McDowell-White signing and where he's going to go? Liam, is that the signing you're waiting for? Is there another one that you're sort of keeping your eyes out that might influence some other moves?
That's the big one. For sure. Did you see Will McDowell-White's post on his Insta stories yesterday? So there was the post there that said, you know, like, where will he go, Will McDowell-White, you know, with all the different jerseys? And he said something along the lines of, well, I know where I'm going, or something to that effect. I paraphrase. So I enjoy the fact that he's having a bit of fun with it. He was watching on and texting the fellas during the show yesterday, holding everybody to ransom right now. And I tell you, it was very funny being up there in Brisbane this week with Justin and Mike Kelly was there and Scott Ninnis was there and everybody kind of like, I don't know who was sorting Will's social calendar, but he had a breakfast here and a lunch there. And Casey Prather saw Will McDowell-White having breakfast with Mike Kelly and reported that through to the organization and said, hey, I can tell you where they are, and so on and so forth. So that's the big one that everybody's waiting for. The other one for me is Mango Mathieu.
Mm.
Yeah, he had some moments last season where he really stood up for New Zealand and gave them a good rim protector and rim roller at the offensive end. So fascinated to see where he might end up as well.
The Will McDowell-White's, the saga, the drama series. Now, New Zealand gave him a bit of a bag, from what I understand. And, okay, PJC, the whole backcourt situation, some untimely injuries. All of a sudden, is it fair to say, is still a bigger signing as Will McDowell-White would be in NBL 2025? He ain't at that level that he was at in 2023. When he was coming off that grand final championship series that season, that was the hottest Will McDowell-White has ever been. He's tailed off a little bit, and it's going to be, and it's because of injuries, no doubt about it, and his backcourt pairing. But there was times that them two looked fantastic together. Now, here's one thing we got to also take into account with this whole free agency thing. Two things. We only got 10 teams in this unbelievable league. You don't have as many options as you think you do. A lot of guys are coming to the end of their careers, in the twilight of their careers. They don't have as many options as they think they do. You got younger guys coming up who's thinking, yeah, I can go here, I can go there. You have to work out, where do you want to live? Like, this isn't NBA where you can get $20 million and you can put up with Minnesota. You can put up living with certain in certain places. The Cairns Taipans, you look at all the players that they've had in Adam Ford's career and his tenure, it's been a whole bunch of dudes come through that place. Some teams don't have the money to keep guys, and some guys just can't handle living in your city. A lot of this stuff got to be factored in. So I look at Will McDowell-White and I go, okay, where are you going to go? Where do you think is going to be a good fit? Do you want to be the lead guard, the starting point guard, so you can't have another point guard? Has Will McDowell-White proven that he can play with another import good guard? So wherever he's going, I'm looking at teams going, well, do they already have one? And now what happens? What fit happens? Like a guy like Mitch McCarron, he's in the twilight, I feel, of his career. His options are dwindling. So great for him to go to New Zealand Breakers, play off the ball, can play on the ball, play good D. I like that signing. I like it both ways. Will McDowell-White's interesting because we don't quite know what his ultimate motive is. I don't know what that is. So whichever team ends up with them will tell us a lot about where Will is at.
Yeah. It's interesting. All those different teams that are in that mix, I've been trying to work that out as well. What's the button to press here? Is it about coming home? Is it an emotional thing in the connection to Brisbane? Is it about winning? And Tasmania are like, hey, listen, we've got this spot ready to go and join this winning program. Is it about the commercial terms? You know, obviously it is to a certain extent always, but you know, to what extent with Will McDowell-White? I think he has proven that he can play alongside a high-level import guard. I mean, you think about that 2023 season when he was absolutely outstanding, like you just referred to. Well, so was Barry Brown Jr. He was terrific. Now, fourth quarter, I'll never forget that fourth quarter of that game five when I felt the ball should have been in Will's hands and not Barry Brown's hands, but that's a whole another thing. Last season, he wasn't at his best, but Parker Jackson Cartwright was. This is the cool thing about Will McDowell-White. I don't think he detracts from the guy that he's sharing the backcourt with. He helps those guys to be effective. So could he be, would it work alongside Milton Doyle? Would it work alongside Nathan Sobey? Would it work alongside Dejan Vasiljevic? Yes, I think it is. I think he's a plug-and-play guy and it would work in all those types of situations.
Let's put our crystal balls out. Are we willing to hazard a guess as to where he ends up, Liam?
Wouldn't it be funny if he didn't end up in any of those teams? And there's someone, there's like, I don't know, there's Adam Ford. Maybe he loses Taron Armstrong to a two-way contract. And then all of a sudden, he signs Will McDowell-White and nobody saw him lurking in the shadows this this whole time. That would be hilarious. I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be fun to see.
I would like to see him in Adelaide. Adelaide 36 is Will McDowell-White. Now, he's a heavy pick and roll guy, right? Heavy, heavy pick and roll guy. Not a guy that you necessarily want to play off the ball. Yes, he can shoot the three ball, but he's not like that, in my opinion. But if I put him with DJ Vucinovic and I got Big Ice sending me some nice ball screens and he getting downhill, throwing lobs to Ice, making that skip pass across the court to DJ, I think a system like that, now they can use their import spots on like on score on three men type dudes, them 6'6" combo, 2-3 type guys. I think Will needs the keys to the car. He don't like to share the driving. Yes, he can, Liam. He can do it. But I feel like to get the best out of Will, he needs the keys, man. So I feel like Adelaide is a dark horse for him. That would be my, I think, out of all the teams out there, that would be my favorite spot to see him go.
Yeah, and the guys on the show were talking about Adelaide yesterday as well for similar reasons. I also quite like Southeast Melbourne for him. Because, as I said, I think he and Nathan, I mean, there's a big Australian contingent that they're building there. And if you know, that partnership with Nathan Sobey, I think, would work. What if none of these Mitch Creek rumors are true and he's ready to come back and rock and roll with Sobey and Will McDowell-White next season? Jordan Hunter's been linked to Southeast Melbourne. That Will McDowell-White, Jordan Hunter pick and roll game will be very fun to watch. Those Sydney guards have had a good time with Jordy Hunter rolling to the rim over these last couple of years. So, man, he's got some really good options in front of him. And by the sounds of it, he's already made the decision.
Well, yeah, who knows when we know. The sweepstakes will roll on and we'll keep our eyes peeled. And, of course, you'll know as soon as we do via the NBL app and nbl.com.au. A couple of quicker ones to finish off here. Liam, in terms of next stars, where does that fit in the grand scheme of things? Are there moves afoot at the moment as part of this free agency period?
Yeah, it's busy in that space as well. You know, obviously we've got a couple of guys. Well, certainly one in Rocco Zakarski. The expectation is probably another in Alex Tui that'll be back with us next season. And we've got a bunch of teams that are really kind of active partners and participants in that space right now. So Perth, Melbourne, Southeast Melbourne, Illawarra, New Zealand, Tasmania. They're the most active kind of partners in this space right now, and very, very active ongoing conversations taking place with them, and also in combination with some, you know, elite prospects as well. So it's funny. Some teams want to go about it a little differently each year. Some of them will say, hey, let's explore the next star opportunities early, right throughout this period of time so that we can factor that guy into the build out of our roster. And then others, and I would say the Adelaide 36ers are kind of in this mold right now, are sort of saying, let's focus on the build, on free agency, on our Aussies and these imports. And then let's have a look at whether we can pull that next star's lever to fill a gap at some point down the road. So different teams going about it in different ways, but everybody looking to be involved in one way, shape or form or another.
It's an interesting lever in terms of roster construction. It'll be really fascinating to see how that plays out. The Perth Wildcats were mentioned in there, Damon. It's nice to know that they've realized that free agency started.
Yeah, I'm thinking, what's going on? Like, hey, you go to sleep, you wake up, and you go, it's all happening. And Perth is, they still sleep. I don't know. John Ridley's up to something. Maybe they just biding their time. I don't know. But Liam, I'm not going to try to tell you how to do your job. You've done a fantastic job. I just got one request. It's not even a request, Liam. It's a demand. I demand a Lithuanian in NBL 25. And while you're at it, I wouldn't mind a Serbian neither. Throw me a Serbian in there as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with teams because this year is going to be a tough act to follow. The standard was sky high with NBL with the next stars this season. So hopefully next year will be similar. But, yeah, the Perth Wildcats clearly, as of today, don't have enough to win a championship. That's just, I think we can all agree with that. What do they need? John really knows they're going to need some scoring. They can't rely on Bryce as solely. Like I said, Bryce can win you some regular season games. It can win you the occasional game off his own bat. But the league is now proving, I think, they're not going to let Bryce just manhandle the league no more and just win a championship off his own bat. So he needs some more firepower. So what firepower is left out there? Not quite sure if that fits John Rudy's mindset, but we'll see because he's going to have to get busy soon.
That'll be an interesting watch over the next little while. Will the Perth Wildcats, and Liam, you've been up in Brisbane at the under 18 Nationals. Is there any names out of that that we should be keeping an eye on for potential roster spots either this year or going forward?
Definitely going forward. Man, it was so great to see the amount of talent that's on display every year at that event and these national championships. But this particular cohort, this 07, there was some bottom ages there born in 08. I think we're going to look at this group in years to come and say it was particularly deep and strong. Lots of future NBL stars on display, which was really cool to watch. Guys like, you know, a guy like Indy Cotton from Queensland led the tournament in scoring at 20 a game. He's very fun to watch. Guy like Harrison Beauchamp from Victoria, big time in the final. 31 points, clutch baskets to lead Vic Metro to the championship. He's one to watch over the journey. In terms of long-term potential, it will come as no surprise to you guys that Dash Daniels is that guy. I mean, from Country Vic,
good
I see
Bendigo
you,
boy, Liam.
Pumping your fist. I mean, he's got a very exciting future. Terrific physical tools, very skilled, excellent decision maker, a menace at the defensive end, which comes as no shock, similar to his older brother. He had a triple-double in the final pool game for Vic Country. He had almost a 20-20 game from the guard spot in the quarterfinals. He and his team weren't at their best in the semis, in the semifinal, and they got knocked out. But, you know, we've made our interests very clear with regards to Dash Daniels. I think that the next star's pathway would be fantastic for him, and there's a number of teams around the league already expressing the fact that they would love to work with Dash and give him, you know, a terrific opportunity in that type of space. And another interesting name for you guys is a big kid out of Canberra, a Jack Newitt. So you probably haven't heard of him before, but you will. Tall, mobile, big. He's at the COE. Averaged about 20 and 10 with 4.5 blocks per game, Damon. And he's, you know, he's blocking shots, he's throwing down dunks, he's putting, you know, throwing down tip jams, but he's very versatile, can operate on the perimeter, can put it on the deck, can square up and knock down a catch and shoot three. So, you know, he's a bit raw, he's got a light frame at the moment, but very intriguing talent. And I'm really looking forward to watching this group at the Under 17 World Cup coming up later this year. And, you know, I think there's an exciting team that Nathan Cooper-Brown and his coaching staff are going to put together.
I'm not going to lie to you, Liam. If there is the possibility of having Dash Daniels and Rocco Zakarski in the same league, I'm going to need some blood pressure medication or I'm going to need something just to help me regain my composure. That's going to be a workplace health and safety issue, and it's going to be all kinds of exciting having those two in the competition. You mentioned Rocco before, and I sort of perked up a little bit thinking about what the big man's going to be able to do. And there's so much talent coming through that pathway, which is so good to see.
Yeah, and you know what else was really good to see was the amount of NBL people that were at that event. You know, this focus on scouting young talent coming through. I saw it at the Under 20 Nationals earlier this year, and at this one, you know, obviously the local guys and Justin Schuler and, you know, Darren McDonald, Greg Vanderjack, those guys were on deck. But Dean Vickerman made his way there. Mike Kelly, Scott Ninnis, alongside his new GM of basketball, Matt West, and Danny Mills was in town for a number of days. So really cool to see all those teams. And not just, you know, the third or fourth development coach, you know, third or fourth assistant. The main guy was there making sure that they were across the elite young talent coming through the system.
It's so good to see, and tell you what, it's going to be, you know, it's one lever in this big free agency puzzle. You've got your young players, you've got your imports, you've got your local talent. There's so much to work out and so much news to keep an eye on. Liam and Damon, thanks for your time. It's been great chopping it all up with you, and I think we've got a lot to look forward to.
Can't wait.
Cheers.
Liam Santamaria, Damon Lowry, two of the best minds in the business with you on NBL Now. Thanks for your company. All the news as it drops on the NBL app and at the NBL website. We'll be back in your feed tomorrow.